Well, as we come back to the prophet Haggai, just a quick snow update for the benefit of those of you in the building. Although there is a lot coming down from the sky, the roads are remaining clear, so at the moment you should still be able to get home safely. I say at the moment, that's probably not a very reassuring thing to say, is it? Hopefully in 35 minutes' time you'll be able to get home safely. But as we turn back to Haggai chapter 2 and those 9 verses, I want you to imagine this building here, Lichard Mission, filled with people, people of different ages, people having a good time. Yeah, I want you to imagine a bouncy castle somewhere around there, and a teddy bear's picnic going on in the corner over there, and in the schoolroom there are people enjoying a selection of homemade cakes being served by very smartly dressed waiters and waitresses. And out in the car park there are more people having fun, and there are people sumo wrestling and winning prizes in hook a duck, and then the ice cream van appears. And some of you will have worked out that I'm asking you to imagine the Community Fun Day of 2018, which seems like a very different world now, isn't it? And maybe even in imagining it, you had that kind of feeling that we all get now when you watch an old television programme where people are shaking hands and at close quarters. You think, it feels so different, so alien, so far away from where we are now. And we can look back at things like that, times when we were enjoying being together as a church and enjoying opportunities to connect with people in the community. We can look back to times like that and look around at where we are now, and we could become quite discouraged, couldn't we, at the contrast between then and now. And we look ahead to the future, and to be honest, a lot of the time I find it very difficult to imagine the future of what things will actually look like after COVID disappears as far as it will do. It's difficult to imagine the future. It's easy at this point, I think, for us to feel discouraged as a church and as individuals too, as we compare the past and the present and look ahead to the uncertain future. It would be easy for us to feel discouraged. But I want to encourage us this morning by telling you a story. A story that Haggai tells. A story that I hope will be encouraging for all of you, even if you're not part of the church here, even if you're not part of any church, as you think about your own situation at the moment. I hope this will be an encouraging thing for us to hear. Because Haggai is speaking to people who are in a similar situation to us. I mean, they're not in a pandemic. They don't see the snow falling down from the sky. But they're in a situation where they look back at the past and they compare it with the present, and they're feeling a bit discouraged. They're a few weeks into the building work on the temple when we join them in chapter 2. Work is going on, but Haggai says to them in verse 3, "Who is left among you who saw this house, this temple, in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes?" Haggai's saying, think back to Solomon's temple, the temple that Solomon built. That was much better, wasn't it? This one is nothing compared to that. Things were much better in the past. This temple is less glorious. Of course, at this point, most of the temple hadn't been rebuilt. There wasn't much to compare it to, but even at this point, it didn't seem as good. And it's not just the bricks and mortar that didn't seem so good. You think about the situation. When Solomon built that first temple, centre of a great kingdom, where people would come for miles to hear Solomon's wisdom. And now, these are a group of returned exiles, subject to the Persian Empire. They don't have a king, they just have the governor of Judah. Things are a lot less glorious. And these people here that Haggai is speaking to were telling themselves a story that had a wonderful past, but a very discouraging present and an unappealing future. Things were great in the past, they're not great now, and we can't imagine much changing in the future. And to these people who are feeling discouraged, like we could feel discouraged this morning, Haggai tells them a different story. A story to encourage them in their work, to encourage them to be strong, to keep going, even if things feel discouraging, to keep going. And so too, as we listen to this story, I hope we'll find encouragement to keep going in the work that God has called us to, as individuals and as a church here in Lichard. The story that Haggai tells is the story of a promise-keeping God. He points them back to the past, not just to show them a building, a temple, but to point them to a promise-keeping God. Verse 4, when he tells them to be strong and to work, why should they be strong and work? Well, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. We had some of that last week, if you were with us, that as these people worked, God was at work. He was at work speaking to them, and he was at work stirring them up to obey. But now we find a bit more about what kind of Lord is with them. What kind of God is with them? And we find that he's a promise-keeping God. Because he's with them according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. That everything that's happening here in Haggai chapter 2 is all an outworking of promises that God made in the past and is continuing to keep through each generation. That when his people were in slavery in Egypt, oppressed by Pharaoh, he brought them out with a mighty hand and said that he would be their God and they would be his people, and through them he would bring blessing to nations across the world. And God has been keeping that promise. He has remained faithful to his people, even though they have not been so faithful to him. Even though each generation has sinned, has disobeyed him. Every generation from the Exodus to Haggai chapter 2, there's been sin and disobedience and people worshipping other gods and people acting unjustly and people lying and people not loving each other or loving God as they should have done. And yet, God has been faithful. He's continued to be, in each generation, a promise-keeping God that generation after generation has been able to say, God is with us. Generation after generation, God has said to his people, be strong, don't fear, for I am with you. Those words all come up a lot in the Bible. And each generation has found that to be true. And you can even get a bit of a sense of deja vu when you read some of these verses, and you have in verse 4 someone called Joshua being told to be strong. Does that remind you of anyone? Maybe remind you of another Joshua in the Bible who's told to be strong because God is with him. Generation after generation, this is still the same faithful, promise-keeping God. Faithful in his promises, faithful in his commands, faithful in his relationship with his people. And so his spirit remains in their midst. The spirit who led his people out of Egypt, empowered his people in the past, is with them now. A faithful, promise-keeping God. And all of this that Haggai speaks here in chapter 2 is actually spoken on quite a significant date. It's in the 7th month, on the 21st day of the month. And do you know why that's significant? I had no idea, but Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, would have known exactly why that was a significant day. Because he would have known Leviticus 23. You don't need to turn there, I'll read the most important parts. In Leviticus 23, we read these words in verse 39. On the 15th day of the 7th month, when you've gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. a time of celebrating the feast for 7 days, beginning on the 15th day of the seventh month. If you count from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, this is the last day of that feast. And what feast is it? Verse 42, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. They were to gather all kinds of bits of greenery and make these booths for themselves and live in them for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths. And you're probably thinking that's a very random thing to do for 7 days. Well, it's that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. It's a feast to remember how God had been faithful to them, even at that point where they were living in booths, in those temporary homes, facing all kinds of dangers in the wilderness, away from secure, safe homes, and yet the promise-keeping God kept them and kept his promise to be their God and for them to be his people. The story that Haggai tells the people, the story of a promise-keeping God, which could be our story too. But before we get to that, let's keep reading the rest of these people's story in Haggai chapter 2. The story of a promise-keeping God, and because it's a story of a promise-keeping God, it's also the story of a glorious future. That's the story that these people find themselves in Haggai chapter 2. And they're just concerned about how things were not as good as they used to be. And Haggai says, wait till you see what's coming. This is a story of a glorious future that you find yourselves in. And a glorious future, a wonderful, amazing, glorious future that's not based on their abilities or their resources, but is based on what the Lord will do. You notice in verse 6, everything that happens because the Lord does it. Verse 6, I will shake the heavens and the earth, says the Lord. And in verse 7, he'll shake the nations as well. And then again in verse 7, I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. And then in verse 9, in this place I will give peace. It's all the Lord's work to shake and to fill the house with glory and to give peace. Pointing forward to a glorious future where the Lord will firstly shake the heavens and the earth, give everything a good shaking. And at this point, we may not have a full idea of what that will look like, but in some way, he's going to change the world order in a way that will affect all nations. All of the nations around the land where Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people were building, all of the nations around who didn't know God and put their own priorities first and seemed to be so powerful and so influential and to have all of the riches, well, one day their position would be shaken. And no longer would God's people be at the mercy of other human authorities of other nations. Instead, in fact, the riches of these nations would all flow to where God's people were as God shakes things in the future. And when he shakes things, he says he will fill this house with glory. That the Lord will fill this house, he's talking about the temple, with glory. It's a picture that the temple was a sign of God's presence with his people. It was a meeting place between God and his people. And Haggai is pointing forward to a day when they will experience the glorious presence of God like never before. And not just a little puddle of glory, but filled with a full ocean of glory, the glorious presence of the Lord with his people. And in that place, the Lord says he will give peace. And when the Bible talks about peace, it's not just a lack of war. It's not just that Zerubbabel won't need to lead people in some kind of battle. It's something much more than that. It's a wholeness of life in harmony in each part. people knowing peace with God, a right relationship with him, and peace with other people, and peace in each part of their lives. You think back to the first chapter where there was so much disruption in their agriculture and their economy. Well, Haggai's pointing forward to a day when there will be peace across the whole of their lives, in each part. Abundance, peace, real life. Where the people in Haggai 2 saw themselves in a story that had a wonderful past but a discouraging present and an unappealing future. Well, Haggai shows them a different story that they're actually part of. A story with a promise-keeping God and a glorious future. A wonderful, glorious, certain future. And the reason why all of this is worth looking at this morning is that this can be our story too, if we know Jesus. That we can find ourselves in this story if we know Jesus. That we can find ourselves in this story of a promise-keeping God and a glorious future. And in fact, we can go a bit further than Haggai does in these verses, because quite a lot has happened since Haggai was around. You think what's happened since Haggai said these words? Well, people have continued to be unfaithful. People have continued to disobey God. People have continued to live not as God has said, but according to their own priorities. And when I say people, I mean me and you and all of us. That all of us in different ways have lived with ourselves as number one, rather than the God who made us and made everything around us. And that unfaithfulness, that sin, is why we don't experience perfect peace in this world at the moment. When the world was first created, those first humans at the beginning, well, there was a place of peace where they were in right relationship with each other and with the God who made them and with the land around them. But they suspected that maybe God was keeping something back. They disobeyed him. And we followed the same pattern. And so that sin that we're all guilty of means that we don't enjoy peace with God. We don't enjoy a right relationship with God or a right relationship with each other. Just look around the world. Or even a right relationship with nature, that everything has been disrupted by human sin. And left to ourselves, we will just head into an eternity without peace. A terrible, restless forever, which that we all deserve for how we've lived. We haven't been faithful to God. But God made a promise that he would bring people from all nations to know peace forever. Peace with him, peace with each other, that full wholeness of life. He made that promise. And he's kept that promise. Because he's a promise-keeping God. And 2,000 years ago, he shook things up as he kept that promise. When the Creator was born into the creation, when God the Son came down from heaven to earth, born as a baby, given the name Jesus. And when this Jesus grew up, when he died, the earth shook. There's an earthquake as he died, and tombs were opened as this Jesus died on the cross, taking the punishment we deserve for our sin, dealing with the sin that stops us knowing peace with God. And then the earth shook again when this Jesus rose from the dead. And an angel showed people an empty tomb. Jesus, alive, defeated death. A sign that the end of the story for his people wouldn't be death, but life and peace. And since that day when Jesus rose from the dead, what we've seen is people from all nations, including Wales, even including England, coming, putting their trust in Jesus and coming to know peace with God, being part of a new people that God is gathering, a people that are described in the New Testament as a temple, a dwelling place for God, where God lives in us by his Spirit, building us together into a people who will be his forever. And we look back at how God has been keeping his promises since Haggai spoke. And all of that can give us great confidence about what's coming, about the final, ultimate shaking that will one day come. Hebrews chapter 12 picks up on the words of Haggai, where Haggai says, this is in verse 26 of Hebrews 12, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. It says this big shaking of everything, heaven and earth and the land and the sea and everything being shaken. But there is something that isn't shaken. When everything else is shaken, something isn't shaken. What is it? Verse 28. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." When everything else is shaken, our relationship with God is secure. Our place in his kingdom, that's the place where God is seen as king, that's secure. Our place as part of his people, in that temple that he's building, that's secure. Nothing can shake that. This unshakable relationship we can have with God through Jesus, no amount of pandemic, no amount of sickness, no amount of government opposition, no amount of snow, no amount of our own failings, not even death can shake that relationship, can shake our place in the kingdom that we enjoy through Jesus. Instead, this promise-keeping God will keep his people through everything we experience until that final shaking when Jesus comes back to make all things new. That God will keep his people, us who know Jesus, through everything we experience, COVID-19 and everything that will follow, till the day when Jesus comes back to make all things new. And then we'll see the whole reality of what it means for the latter glory to be greater than anything that's come before. When we see a glorious eternity far greater than anything we could have imagined even now. A huge crowd of people from every nation coming to God to worship him forever and enjoying a wholeness and a life and a peace, enjoying abundance forever. That's where Haggai chapter 2 ultimately leads. That latter glory that's coming when Jesus comes back. This story of the promise-keeping God taking us to a glorious future. That's the story that Haggai chapter 2 points us to. It does raise the question, what story are you telling yourself at the moment? In this situation that we find ourselves in, what story do you tell yourself when you're reflecting on how things are in your life at the moment? Is the story that you're telling yourself one that things were better in the past, they're a bit discouraging now, and I can't imagine what the future's going to be like? Is that the kind of story, the narrative that goes through your mind? Today we can come to Jesus and know something more than that. We can come to Jesus today and know something more than that. We can find a place in this story that God is in control of. This story that ends in eternal glory and peace for all those who know Jesus. A story that we can't write our way into. We can only have a place that's given by God. The God who says, I will shake, I will fill this house, I will give peace, says, I will rescue. He calls us to come and trust in Jesus. And Jesus, by his death, gives us access to this glorious future that's promised here. Gives us peace with God now and a great abundance of peace in eternity. So we come and trust in Jesus. Whatever's going on, we can then have confidence about what lies ahead. And I wonder, do you have that confidence today? As you leave this building, or as you turn off your laptop or smartphone or television after this service, is this a confidence that you can have? Have you come to know Jesus, to trust in him, to see yourself as part of this big story that God is writing in the universe, where he remains faithful to his people, leading us to a glorious future? Can you have confidence in this story today? And if you can, this is a story that we need to keep telling ourselves, because we can forget it. We can look back at the past and think things were better then. And what does the future really hold for us? We can look back as a church and we can think, oh, how great things were before this pandemic. And we can feel very discouraged about where we are now and struggle to imagine what the future holds. Or we can tell ourselves the story of a promise-keeping God who's still with us, whatever we experience now, however discouraging things look. He's still at work. He's still working out his plan. He's still with us. And he'll keep his promises until that glorious future is here. We still have that story of a promise-keeping God and a glorious future. Whatever happens around us now, we're safe in that story. We're secure in that. And so this week, whatever happens, whether it continues to snow or not, at the moment you're still safe to get home. But this week, let's keep taking opportunities to remind ourselves of this story, to remind ourselves of this big story of what God is doing, this story that we're safe in. Remind ourselves as we come to what God has said in his word, where he gives us these promises, shows us how he's kept them through history, gives us hope for the future. And let's keep coming to him in prayer to speak about how we're finding things at the moment, to admit to him that sometimes we struggle, sometimes we feel discouraged, sometimes the future looks, well, it's difficult to see any future, and to ask for his help to keep trusting, to keep working, keep hoping in Jesus. And as we keep remembering that story of what God is doing, well then, when the opportunity to work arises, then we'll be ready with Zerubbabel and Joshua and the remnant of the people to be strong and to work, for our promise-keeping God is with us and is leading us to that glorious eternity with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for how you have shown yourself to be faithful, a promise-keeping God throughout history. We praise you that that's one of the big things we see when we read the Bible, that you keep your promises. And we thank you that you keep your promises even when we fail to keep our promises and fail to trust you as we should. And we thank you that as we remember that you keep your promises, we can have confidence looking forward to that day when Jesus will come back to make all things new. And we know that at the moment it's not always easy to keep in mind that picture of what you're doing, that remembrance of your faithfulness and that hope for the future. We ask that you'd help us as individuals and as a church here to know more of what it means to trust you and to keep working with hope. And I pray for any who are joining this service who haven't yet come to experience that hope for themselves, or maybe those who once knew this hope but it now seems a long way away. And I pray that you'd be at work in each one of us to show us Jesus. and what it means to trust him today. It's in his name that we give you thanks and praise today. Amen. Well, our last hymn today is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And the last verse of this says, Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. That's what's happening now in this pandemic. We're being changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place.